It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Birds Radio. It is a big day here at the Tasty Keg Studios as not only are we going to be reacting to the first three picks the Eagles made, one in each round, but the Eagles are also going to be on the clock momentarily.
Matter of seconds.
We will have picks live on the show. They're picking at 1:20. Right now it is at 1:18, so that pick will be coming up any minute. Then 1:23, 1:32. So we will update you as it goes with the picks, but it is obviously a last week's show was a get on the record, who do you want day. Today's a get on the record, how do you feel about who we got day,
well, Elliot Shore-Parks. Let me start by saying this. I'm excited to talk to all the Go Birds listeners, the real ones, auto downloaders, about the draft. But I think it's only right, James, that we start the show with you just saying how happy you are. It's been nothing but defense.
I'm so happy, baby!
Just go ahead. Just let the people know how you feel. It's all you said the month leading up. It's all you said last week. The floor is yours.
All I wanted was defense. I literally said I want defense with the first three picks. I didn't think it was going to happen.
Neither did I.
I did think they would target defense, but I thought there was no way I would get three defenders in the first three picks. Two cornerbacks or defensive backs, whatever you want to say, that I'm actually excited about. I mean, you know, we did our pod after, like, the more I see about Quinyon Mitchell, the more I hear about him, the more I hear smart people talk about him, like, the more in love I am with that pick. I think it was an absolute home run pick, the Quinyon Mitchell pick. I love the way the guy carries himself. I love everything I've seen about his ability, his skill set, his athleticism. Obviously, I know the Toledo thing is, it's a small school thing, but man, when you look at what this guy can do from a physical perspective and then hear, like, you know, like our friends Ocho Cinco and Shannon Sharp, close friends.
Good friends of mine. We like to break down football
Brian
together.
Brian Baldinger, listening to the way these guys talk about the burst, the way this guy closes, the intelligence this guy has. Like, I am thrilled with that pick, and you know I went in wanting a cornerback more than anything else. So right off the jump, I'm happy. And then for Howie to first of all, for him to stay at 22 the way he did and let the board come to him the way he did. And then in round two, to read the board the way he did, they clearly wanted Cooper DeJean. Clearly the Packers were going to take him. They traded out of the spot right after. And even still, three cornerbacks go off the board right after that pick. What I love about this draft, and then obviously I love the upside of the Jalix Humphrey. We'll get to that. I know that's your favorite so far in terms of value. But I love the upside, the athleticism there. But essentially, like, what I love about this draft is that the Eagles put themselves out there on defense, and they said, all right, in the first round, we get to choose any cornerback, any defensive back in this draft we want. We're getting our guy. In the second round, they got every single defensive back who was on the board. A run was about to start. We're getting our guy. There's no hiding from these picks. This is the guys the Eagles wanted. And like I said, coming in, man, I just wanted them to bolster the defense with young talent. I am absolutely thrilled so far.
I'm happy for you, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
Good to see you smile.
I'm really excited.
The Eagles haven't made
you
smile in a while, yeah. So it's good to see. Real quick, the Eagles were on the clock. They have made a trade. They traded the pick 120 to the Miami Dolphins for a 2025 third. So they just
traded. That's a great trade.
Great trade. I agree.
Especially because they have two more fourths today 100%, already.
Yeah.
And for what it's worth, a lot of people feel that, especially after the fourth round, this, and even in the fourth round a bit, the talent level of the draft does drop off a little bit. So I think that's a really smart move, especially with the lack of picks next year already.
100%. So anyway, not on the clock.
But we'll be soon.
123. So probably within 5 minutes. But he'll probably trade that one, too.
Yeah. Of course, as soon as I lead off, like, we're going to have picks on the air.
I know. Yeah. But it's still exciting. We get to watch how we work.
By the way, real quick, just in terms of how we're working, how funny is it the first day we're like, oh, he didn't make a trade. He stayed there.
And he's made
the next
18,
day he made like 15 trades. It's like he traded 30 picks for these 30 picks.
So I have lots of thoughts, obviously, on what's happened. First, I'll respond to what you said. So I'm happy you are happy. And leading up to the draft, I made it very clear. I wanted offense. Offensive guard, I thought the third receiver was a need. I didn't love the corners in this draft. But as I sit here today, is this what I would have done? No. But that doesn't mean I don't think they've had a good draft so far. I think that while Quinyon Mitchell I have my questions about, Cooper DeJean at 40 is so different to me than Cooper DeJean at 22. If he's the first corner taken, then he has to be ready to be the guy. He has to be able to play on the outside. That's not what he is now. Getting him at 40, he can be a piece that they can move around. He can maybe line up at nickel. He could play safety. He can take some reps on the outside if needed. I think at 40, Cooper DeJean is a really good pick. And I, to your point, I like that they traded up for him. It says, you know what? We have conviction in this guy. We like him. Jeffrey Lurie told Cooper that the night before on Thursday night, he couldn't sleep because he really wanted to try to go get him.
And Howie said they were thinking about taking him at 22.
They were thinking about taking him at 22. So I think Cooper DeJean, had they taken him at 22, because I was clear, I didn't like him as a player. But at 40, I think it's different. The value's different. It's like paying someone $5 million instead of $25 million. There's just a difference in the value. The pick last night, Jalix Hunt. I love this pick. He reminds me of Josh Sweat athletically. Obviously, he doesn't have the knee problems that Josh Sweat had coming out of college. A former safety that now has grown and put on enough muscle to be an edge rusher. He's quick off the line. He dominated the Senior Bowl. I love that pick. So overall, with the first three picks, I sit here and I think, do I think they've needed offensive guard? Yes. Do I think they've passed on some really good receivers? Yes. But what I like, and where I think you've made this point and you ended up being correct about it, there is a refreshing aspect to the defense being rebuilt. If we think about this defense last year, well, I think the coaching was a major part of it. Think of how much the defense has changed from a personality standpoint over the last calendar year. Last year at this time, it was Darius Slay, James Bradbury, Fletcher Cox. I mean, great
players. Hassan Reddick,
great players. But now, if you think about the personality of this defense and what they're going to be, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Jordan Davis, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, like there is an
Bryce Huff.
There is an influx of young talent on this defense that, while individually, like the players, I don't think are stud prospects. The defense is getting to a point where the offense is. Where a year from now, if they hit on these picks, they will be loaded at the majority of positions with young players that they have locked up and that can be here for a long time. So it's not the plan I would have gone with, but I'm not going to be stubborn enough or, you know, throw a fit that they didn't do it. I can respect what they've done so far. And I think that through the first three rounds, between the maneuvering they've done and the players they've picked up, they're definitely having a good draft.
Yeah, and again, no matter what, just the way that Howie, you know, you can quibble with what you or whoever thinks they need or should have taken in, whether you like this player over that player. But in terms of just reading the board, in terms of understanding the league and what everyone else is going to do and where you need to be to do things and what it costs to do things and how you can recoup those picks, I mean, it is wild watching how masterful Howie has become at this. And we say it every year, like, you know, whether or not he gets the picks right, obviously it's a tougher thing. And you know, I think he's better at them than some people do, but obviously he's going to have his misses.
Yeah.
But in terms of reading the draft board, I honestly don't remember a GM as adept, as skillful, as maneuverable as Howie in these situations.
Well, you made this point, and I think it's an excellent one. Yesterday, when they went up to get Cooper, after that, I think the next four picks were cornerbacks.
Next four picks.
The night before, however strong you think they felt about Quinyon Mitchell, he stood pat at 22, didn't go up to 21, didn't go up to 19, didn't panic and go up to 17. He stood pat and got his guy. Now, if Quinya would have been drafted, did they feel comfortable taking someone else? Of course, that's a situation they put themselves in. But I respect that what you're seeing through two days of this draft and three rounds is how he really is the best in the league at maneuvering the draft. And while maybe he'll miss on some of these picks, and I'm excited to talk more about Quinyon because I've learned more about him, talk about Jalix Hunt and all these guys, the guys they had today, there's one thing you can't question, is that when it comes to collecting information and to maneuvering the draft board and getting value, there's no one better than Howie right now.
All right, we're coming to the calls in a few. 215-592-9494. We want to talk to as many Go Birds real ones as we can. We want your reactions to what Howie's done so far. Let's quickly go player by player. Quinyon Mitchell, obviously I know you made a bit of some news, so to speak, with your initial take, which I can just quickly, like, it's okay to not like a pick.
Yeah.
You know, I was surprised at the outcry of it. Like,
people
I love
not
pick,
happy. Yeah.
But like, we can all have our opinions on these things. You know, It's okay to have an opinion.
And if I didn't do a good enough job expressing my opinion on it, that's my fault. I don't hate the Quinyon Mitchell pick. I don't think it was a disastrous pick. I don't think it was a mistake they're gonna regret. I would have taken other corners. I like Kool-Aid better. I like Terry Arnold better. I like Nate Wiggins better. That hasn't changed over 48 hours. Now, 48 hours later, I see the vision of Quinyon Mitchell more than I did before. He is a really good athlete. Doesn't have great size. His arms are not super long. He's not super tall. But his combination of speed and strength is impressive. And look, Chad Ochocinco, who everyone says, you know, played me in that video, I thought he made good points.
I did too.
That his feet are really good. That technically he's really good at at backpedaling.
The closing speed.
He's smooth and all those things, yeah.
And the brain. Like, they talked a lot about how he recognizes what he's seeing, which is super important.
The worry I have is they are putting a lot of stock in the Senior Bowl. Howie acknowledged that the two concerns they had, which are my concerns, is that he played at a small-time program.
Which is the, like, everyone, you know, if you're going to point to what the biggest question mark about him, it is clearly that he played at Toledo.
Although there, I will say, and shout out, Corey from Columbus made this point, and someone tweeted at me, and I think it's, if you look at the top corners in the NFL last year, a lot of them did go to small schools. Which is an interesting trend.
Look, the Eagles, he wasn't good last year, but James Bradbury's had a really good career from a very small school.
Sauce Gardner went to Cincinnati. L'Jarius Sneed went to LA Tech. Jalen Johnson went to Utah. And Utah's a bigger program than, you know.
Way bigger.
Exactly.
Utah's played a national championship
game. Yeah, Chevarius Ward, Middle Tennessee. But to the point that there is a history of small school corners translating well to the NFL. The other thing, my concern is that his game seems to be predicated on being a few yards out, making a jump, and getting to the ball. I think that's going to be harder to do consistently in the NFL than it was at Toledo. So I think he'll have to really show that what he showed at the Senior Bowl is worth it. But physically, he's a better athlete than I thought when they initially drafted him. And that makes me feel better about the pick.
Yeah, I think athletically it's a really exciting pick. And I love the chip on the shoulder. And I told you, you know, look, you can't get that much from watching a guy on TV when they get drafted, but I was impressed with how he carried himself. Mm-hmm. The way he went about his business, everything he said, the way he answered questions, just the kind of quiet confidence he had, the partying with the Eagles fans, like, there was just something about, like, for that position, you want someone who's confident. And I came away feeling like this is a confident kid who believes in his abilities.
The story Nick Saban said about how they want him to come at Alabama is encouraging.
It's cool.
Now,
for those who didn't see it, just so you don't know, and if you don't know the story, I'm sure you've heard it over the last couple days on the radio, or day and a half, but Quinyon Mitchell had academic issues going into college, ended up at Toledo, and had opportunities in the NIL to leave Toledo, including Alabama. Nick Saban said he was our number one guy in the NIL portal. And Quinyon Mitchell, to his credit, because Toledo took a chance on him when no one else would, he stayed loyal, you know, which is, you could read it however you want, but it's something.
The video that came out of his teammates celebrating when he got drafted, it's clear that he can be a good culture guy. I do still wish, now, you know, I respect him staying at Toledo. It would have been awesome to see
LSU guys.
Right.
Well, sure.
So there's a projection here, but the other point that I've thought of, or maybe has shifted my mind a little on this, is if you're going to take one of these corners, I do think there's a world where he has the biggest upside, but I also think he has the lowest floor. I think Kool-Aid, Terrion, and Nate Wiggins will be really good NFL players. I think there's a chance in 2 years we're looking at this and going, Quinyon Mitchell was the best one, and credit to Howie for taking a bold, big swing on it.
I totally agree.
I also think, though, in 2 years, we could sit here and go, how could you take a 23-year-old in his fifth year out of Toledo over some of these stud SEC guys? I will always respect and like taking a big swing. And it made me think of the quote that Howie has on his wall in the office, which is essentially, you know, paraphrasing, you win the Super Bowl by making decisions that could get you fired.
Go big or go home.
Go big or go home. And I don't think this is a decision that could get any GM fired, especially not Howie, because he's never getting fired. But it is a risky one. It's what you
it
said when you were starting.
It was safer to take Terry and Arnold.
Exactly.
It's just
they take
safer.
Alabama. Exactly. Yeah. So I respect the boldness of it. I have the same skepticism, frankly, it sounds like the Eagles do, that the small school and the man coverage. I do think that matters. But we'll see if they get it right.
We will also see if Howie makes another pick. They are on the clock right now at 123. We'll see if they trade or make the pick. We're coming to the phones in just a minute. 215-592-9494.
Hold on. They have made a trade.
Oh, they have made another trade.
According to Tom Pelissero, Houston is on the clock at 123 in a trade with the Eagles.
Well, there you go. So 132 is their next pick unless they
traded kind of brilliant?
Sooner.
You know what's kind of brilliant by Howie?
What?
So he went in today with six picks. He acquired a lot last night. If it's a draft that they don't love, just owning a bunch of picks and turning them in next year is pretty brilliant.
Yeah, especially if, like, again, if you're going to trade fours this year for thirds next year, like, all day. All right, let's get to DeGene, and then we'll get to Hunt, and then we'll get to the phones. But on DeGene, you know, I love the versatility of him, especially at 40, especially with CJ GJ here. I mean, you know, those two guys complement each other really well. You have
those
two guys.
Same player.
That's what I mean. Yeah. You have two guys who you can ask to do a lot for you on defense. And with Fangio coming in, I'm sure he had input on all this stuff. And I know he had input on the Hunt pick. They talked about that. But your thoughts on DeGene, especially, look, to the point where, you know, you just mentioned him. Kool-Aid was the next player picked. Like, he was on the board. So they twice chose cornerbacks over Kool-Aid. Your thoughts on DeGene?
So I think Kool-Aid projects better as a number one outside corner than Cooper DeGene does. But after they took Quinyon Mitchell, I think Cooper DeGene better complements Quinyon than Kool-Aid would have. Because they still have Kelee Ringo, who I think has legit outside number one corner potential. Cooper DeGene, had they taken him at 22, I would have hated that pick even more than Quinyon Mitchell. But to take him at 40, here's what I like about it. A, it is good value. No matter how you slice it, it's good value. I know he fell, and that's concerning. But still, to get someone that they had graded as a first rounder at 40 it is a good pick. What I like about him is, if you think about last year's Eagles defense, there was no they had very few players that before the snap, when a quarterback got to the line, he would look, go, all right, what's this guy going to do? Or let me find out where that guy is. Really, Hassan Reddick was the only one, and the only way they could get creative with him was dropping him back into coverage, which was a terrible idea anyway. If you look at this year's Eagles defense with the addition of Cooper DeGene, him and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson pre-snap, quarterbacks are not going to know what they're going to do because Chauncey and Cooper have the ability to line up at multiple spots. They can line up at outside corner if they really needed to, nickel corner, natural role for them, safety, deep safety, they could do that, in the box safety. So at 40, I like the idea of grabbing a player that can do a lot of things. Now, the flip side of that is I wish there was one thing he was great at. I think Kool-Aid can be
basketball
great.
Basketball doesn't count.
Basketball doesn't count. Yeah, so those dunks are impressive. I wish I could dunk like that or dunk at all. I wish that Cooper...
Most famous college player from Iowa, too, this year, so...
Who is?
I'm joking.
Oh, okay.
I'm joking.
Oh, yeah.
It's Caitlin Clark, obviously.
Well done by you. I believe people asked him in his pre-draft process if he could beat Caitlin Clark 1-1.
I'm sure they did. Yep.
A Gobert's listener said the chances that was Nick Sirianni have to be 100.
Not the worst question Cooper DeGene has been asked. I'll just say that.
Yeah. But what my concern with Cooper is... Is he great at one thing? And we'll find out. But, you know, can he be a great nickel? Can he be a great safety? I do think at the 40th pick, you have to find a way to get him on the field next year. He can't just sit for a year. It's not the end of the world as the second pick.
I think they will, though.
But I think they'll find a way.
And there'll be special teams and kick returns. There's all these options for this guy.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see what Vic Fangio will do with him. So if you take a great athlete that has experience doing a couple things, let's see how they do.
All right. The Eagles, by the way, traded back to 127, picked up an extra fifth for next year, so moving back four spots. For so they'll be on the clock very soon. We'll bring that to you. To the phones in 1 minute. Quickly, Jalix Hunt, the last pick.
Yep.
Obviously a winner name. I mean, Jalix
Hunt.
It
is an outstanding
name. A winner. Other than Ladd McConkey, maybe the best name in the draft.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on Hunt? I know of all the picks in terms of value, your favorite pick, the Eagles.
Yeah, in terms of value, I think it's my favorite pick so far. I think he's someone in 2 years we could look at and say he's the best player they got in this draft so far. We'll see who else they get. Has the exact physical build you want for an edge rusher in today's NFL. He's kind of like a more jacked up, bigger Nolan Smith. He reminds me, like I said, of Josh Sweat physically, probably faster off the line.
A little lighter
than Josh Sweat.
Lighter than
Josh Sweat was for sure. Former safety. But he went to the Senior Bowl. He tore it up. I just think he's a great physical athlete to take a chance on in this round. You could argue in the third round, maybe you don't want to take such a project, but at a position in need, I think it's worth taking that project. So I really
like
it.
And a position they just value always.
Well, sorry, that's what I meant to say. A position they value.
And again, also, look, these are going to be chip on their shoulder guys. I don't know if it'll work or not, but it is interesting to see the Eagles have gone so far with the SEC thing the last few years. They got two guys in their first three picks who are small school guys who have a lot. I mean, this guy, Houston Christian, he is the first player in the history of the school drafted.
Yeah.
Quinion's the first Toledo guy drafted in the first round or whatever.
This guy's going to ask Quinion, what was it like playing at such a big program?
I know. He's like, wow, Toledo, that's huge. Huh? Yeah. All right. 215-592-9494. Again, we want to talk to as many Go Birds listeners as we can today. Get on the record. How do you feel about the Eagles draft? I am obviously over the moon happy. Elliot, happier than I expected with three defensive players coming.
A B minus.
I'll take that with three defensive players taken. I do have a thought about what it means for the offense. We're going to get to that in a couple minutes. Let's go to the phones. Let's start out where we do every single Saturday at this time. Let's go to Abington and talk to our buddy Tommy Yota.
Yo, fellas. How we doing today?
What up, Tom? How's it going?
Oh, man. James, you said you're over the moon?
Yes, sir.
I'm over you.
Love it. Yes.
Dude, this has been fantastic. So this is a pro Howie Roseman and all praise Howie phone call. Okay? I am very impressed at what this guy has done. Mm-hmm. Okay, so two things about Howie that I think I've figured out now is, one, he learns from his mistakes and just learns overall. Like he just takes what he's learned and turns it into gold.
So how have you seen that today, just out of curiosity? I'm sorry, not today.
I'm sorry?
How have you seen Howie learning from his mistakes in this draft?
Well, just learning in general. And that leads me to the second thing is he has his finger on the pulse of the NFL. So
big time.
If you look at what he did here, I mean, yeah, he was all over the offense. He loaded them up. And then he figured in the draft, he figured out that teams were going to go offensive in the draft. I'm sure he didn't see it working out as well as it did, but damn, he has done some magnificent things. Now, I told you guys who I wanted last week, right?
You did, but I don't remember.
It was Brock Bowers.
It was Cooper.
I thought
Cooper was one of your guys. Yeah.
Yeah. So the fact that he got him where he got him, and then to pick up Mitchell prior to that, like, he was aware that teams were going to go offensive. And again, he probably didn't know to the degree that it went. That's kind of historic what happened. But damn, he pulled it off. I am so thrilled right now.
Yeah, and as much as I wanted offense, and I still do think this offensive guard spot's an issue. And if their offensive guard spot is not good and that impacts the line, that's a problem. But there is a freshness of this defense being rebuilt.
There's also, you know, the line, and we're going to get into that more, but no matter what, there are just far more guys on offense that we trust. Like, I trust so many guys on offense.
For sure. But he's leaning into the Chiefs model from 2 years ago with the young defense, which I appreciate that as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see what the guy's going to do today. So when the Raiders took Brock Bowers, obviously that was dead, right, for me. Mm-hmm. But what were they thinking? Didn't they take Mayer last year?
I don't have a good explanation for that. It seemed like it was like, wow, he's there. I guess we're going to take him.
Which ruined my dream. I just didn't understand it. And then with Atlanta doing what they did, I just think that we are so lucky to have Howie Roseman. It's unbelievable. I am over the moon, guys. I'm going to let you go. You got a lot of people on deck, I'm sure. Go Birds,
Tommy. And yeah, like I definitely thought about that a lot with the Falcons thing. And, you know, we talked about it in the pod, but watching them, you know, sign Kirk Cousins, $100 million guaranteed, $140, whatever it is, and then to draft a guy at 8 who's 26 years old with a massive injury history and not tell Kirk Cousins.
It's unbelievable.
But honestly, my main thought when I saw that was thank God I'm an Eagles fan. Thank God. Like, that would never, like, in a million years, the Eagles would not do that exact thing, you know?
They'll only do the watered-down version of watered it by taking
But that's fine. It's a very different
it
thing.
It is very different.
You know?
Agreed,
so
yes.
Just a wild, wild, wild situation. All right, 215-592-9494. Get on the line now. We're taking calls for the rest of the show. We got an hour and 40 minutes left. We're with you till 3. We want to talk to as many Go Birds Real Ones listeners as we can. It's Elliot. It's James. It's Go Birds Radio Reacting Draft Plus. When we come back, unless he trades for the third straight time, we should have an Eagles pick for you when we get back. It's all here. It's Go Birds Radio. Don't go anywhere.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Go Birds Radio, as we react to the Eagles draft. First,
they've made a pick.
And now the fourth pick. Yes, they have made a pick, Elliot. Very excited there.
Yes.
Jump right in. Yeah. Go for it. Would you like to announce
it? Well, that song was so good, I was like waiting to.
Yeah.
All right.
Would you like to announce it? Yeah. Elliot is like bursting out of his shoes. You're so excited.
It's like I'm the commissioner. I can't take the pressure. Yeah. With the whatever pick it was, the Eagles have
127th pick.
With the 127th pick,
2024 NFL draft. Let's do this correctly.
With the 127th pick of the 2024 NFL draft, the Eagles select Will Shipley, running back, Clemson.
Running back!
Yes.
How about it? Let's go! A fourth round running back. I believe, off the top of my head, the first fourth round running back since Donnell Pumphrey, perchance.
Maybe not the stat you want to drop there.
I'm just
saying. Fun fact. So, 5'11", 206 pounds, 21 years old. Really didn't get a ton of work in college, which I think is a good thing overall for a running back. 167 attempts last year, 827 yards. 31 catches over the last 2 years. He has 69 catches, which for a running back in college is a pretty good number. They don't throw him the ball a ton there. At Clemson, obviously.
Former five-star recruit.
Former five-star recruit.
Love seeing that.
Yeah, so, running back is a position where on the surface you don't think it's a need. Clearly Saquon's going to be very involved. But if Saquon goes down and you have become an offense that runs a lot of plays that are critical for the running back, you need a high quality.
Well, not
backup.
Just that. Like, I am totally fine not seeing a bunch of Kenny Gainwell on my TV screen
this
year. Yes, like,
when Boston Scott's
a
free agent.
And Boston Scott's probably gone. Like, I am totally fine seeing less Kenny Gainwell. So,
yeah.
Look, it wasn't something you'd think about, but it is like an offshoot kind of need, and this seems like the right time. Certainly, though, did not think that when we said, all right, pick the first offensive position the Eagles will
draft.
Then
it would be running back? Agreed. Prior to the draft, I would not like that. And I don't still love it. I mean, I do think, again, offensive line's a major need for this team. But Running back is an underrated need.
Okay, so 215-592-9494. Back to the phones in a second. We have our own personal draft expert on the line. We'll get his thoughts on Will Shipley and the other picks. That's coming up in 1 second. But first, Elliot, you just mentioned the offensive line.
Yeah.
I feel like it is impossible to not take the first four picks, what's happened so far.
Philly almost on the clock again, by the way. I think they're actually... No, you're right.
Because we're ahead. Yeah.
Sorry about that. Okay. Sorry, I'm excited. Yeah, My bad.
He's like shot out of a cannon today, Danny. Yes. I love this. All right. I think it is impossible to not look at what has happened these first 3 days of the draft so far as a win for Tyler Steen.
Yep.
As a vote of confidence or whatever for Tyler Steen. Is that the way you look at this?
So I think it's fair to read it that way. If Troy Fontanu falls to them at 22 and Quinyon goes 20, maybe we're looking at this completely differently. So I do think there is an aspect of how the board fell. But if they had the major concerns I thought they did about Tyler Steen,
three spots
they could have traded
to
up to get him. So still a lot of time. The Eagles have a lot of picks. You wonder if they can trade for a veteran offensive guard. But if you're Tyler Steen, there's a chance that at the end of Thursday night, you're sitting there and going, this was a major blow to my chances of playing, even through the second and third round. So I agree. This is a good few days for Tyler Steen. Maybe not a good few days for the Eagles if, you know, he's
well,
not very good.
We're going to find out.
We're going to find out. So, yeah, I agree with that assessment.
215-592-9494. Let's get to as many calls as we can, including our own personal Go Birds draft expert, Mr. Justin in Tennessee. What up, feller?
What's happening, fellas? How y'all doing this fine draft Saturday?
Man.
You a Will Shipley guy? What's the deal?
Yeah, I liked it. Now, I like the third round pick we got by trading out, but I'd really like Jalen right there if we were going running back. But I'll take a third round or two for a fourth. I'll make that trade all day.
Yeah, I thought that was good value by Howie.
That was great value by Howie. I think Howie has done absolutely outstanding. I was a little worried about the third round pick last night. That guy, I had no idea who he was. That's my failure as the Gilbert's draft guru.
We'll forgive you. I'll fill in the cracks for you on that one. Yeah,
I had no idea who that guy was, but I love the Mitchell pick. One, because every draft guru, expert, anybody out there had this kid number one and number two on their board.
Yeah, like Daniel Jeremiah, for example, had him as his 12th overall player in the draft.
Yes. The thing about it was, every single corner in the draft was there for us to take. It's not like we were trying to, you know, it was the bottom end of you know, the scraps or something. Like, if three or four had been taken and we still had Cooper DeJean and Kool-Aid McKinstry, and you were trying to choose between two, yeah, that might be different. You had them all there, and they took him. So that makes me believe in him that much more. And then to be able to move up to 40 and still get my guy, who me and Drew have been...
You have been.
And Corey from Columbus have been hollering from the mountaintop.
Yeah.
Maybe
we'll hear from both of those guys soon as well. So, I like that.
I know my boys is going to call in today, yes, but it's been awesome.
Our boys. I love all of you. This is great. Let's go.
These are our boys, man. It's the Go Birds family.
Amen.
So I'm still holding out hope. I know we need offensive line help. I know we need defensive line help, but... Bring me Axeman Jr., Howie. Please, somehow or another, bring Trott Jr. I want to see him in that number 54 with the Kelly green. That would be beautiful because Trott never got to wear it. Anyway, boys, I'm going to get off here. Me and Amanda's headed out for our 23rd wedding anniversary.
Wow, mazel.
Early dinner.
Congrats.
Anniversary's tomorrow. I'm going to get off here. I'm going to keep listening. Love you, boys. I mean it. Keep going.
Man. Love you, too. You're the best. The Eagles are on the clock in three picks. So one, we are at pick 129 or 130 right now. They're on the clock at 132 again. Trotter Jr. still on the board. So we'll see
where
how
are
that
you at with Trotter Jr.?
Sure. I mean, it's the fourth round. Like,
at this point,
sure.
Yeah.
But, like, if they draft him, I would be hopeful, not expectant.
Yeah. So,
you know what I mean?
I don't think he fits the profile of what I believe a successful linebacker is in today's NFL with his physical stature. But I do think maybe we dismiss a little bit the chances they would do it. He reminds me a lot of Nakobe in terms of the physical athlete. He's great because he's so smart pre-snap. Obviously, Jeremiah Trotter being his dad, he taught him a lot about football. So maybe they would. They took Nakobe.
And this is the range, that third, fourth, fifth,
chance,
is where
yeah.
they take these type of guys. So, yeah, I look, and he produced at the college level, which is something else they've cared a lot about.
Yep,
so,
100%.
Yeah, they'll be interesting. 215-592-9494 was just mentioned. Let's go to Westchester and talk to Drew. What up, pal?
What's up, boys? So I know we have a lot of arguments about music on the show, and quite frankly, I think you guys have more takes than me there. But one thing I think we can all agree on, Mr. Brightside playing before the Eagles pick on Thursday night. I immediately settled down. I'm like, they're going to nail the pick.
Oh, 100%.
Can't make a bad pick.
It's a winning thing.
It's always a song that gets the people going.
So at my wedding, by the way, I was so far out in front of the Mr. Brightside at weddings thing. Now everyone does.
Wow.
Well, I got married like 13 years ago.
It's a good point. Yeah.
So we did, at my, Brightside was such a hit at my wedding. Shout out to my buddy Nick Muzyczka. He did a pants off dance off. He actually like pulled his pants down
Wow.
to dance for it. Everyone was so into Brightside.
I did not think that would be
Brightside
how this call
would start. Brightside was a nut. Yes. My buddy Donnie and Emily were like doing a dance off during it. Like it was.
I need
Bright
video.
Brightside was an all timer at my wedding, so I'm right there with you, Drew.
Delta the Howie Roseman of wedding music, just ahead of the curve. So I'll give you guys an interesting stat I found, and then I'll give my opinion, and I'll put this on Twitter too because I don't know if some of the particulars translate great to radio, but at a high level, 2017 Eagles. Fourth most interceptions in the league. Mm-hmm. 2022 Eagles, fourth most interceptions in the league. Every other year in between, bottom 10. So I think with these first two picks, I don't think they necessarily have that stat in their head, but I think they went in thinking like, we need guys who can take the ball away. We need playmakers. And I'm kind of in the realm of Elliott. It's maybe not exactly what I would have done, but I can respect that. Like, you just picture, like, you know, a tight playoff game against, like, Jordan Love, Dak Prescott, who can be a ball hawk, who can go flip the field,
right,
get an interception. So I'm excited that we're going to have guys flying around the field who can do that.
Your point about the turnovers is a good one. And I will say, Drew, I always learn something when you call in. So great point by you. But also, if you look at last year, I think there was a lot of problems, but clearly the lack of turnovers were one. I think Chauncey and Cooper DeJean are not going to be guys that are consistently in the right place, especially Cooper his rookie year, snap by snap. But they will make five or six plays this year that we really remember and that can turn games around. So I think the better coaching will help.
And just to add on to that, when your offense has the – and obviously Jalen has to be good, but when your offense has the potential to be this good,
yeah,
all you need is a few big plays on defense,
yep,
and you can win games that way.
I appreciate that, Elliot. And, yeah, I think that's often, you know, just kind of what it takes, just like, you know, one or two mm-hmm. guys who can, you know, create a short field, can change a game. And I do think the coaching is going to be important there too, because, you know, these guys scream like ball hawks to me, but I feel like a lot of the Fangio system is kind of like get pressure and don't make mistakes on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
So I just hope he, you know, kind of lets them cook a little bit. One other just like thought question I wanted to leave you guys with, and I know you discussed a bunch of different scenarios pre-draft. I tried to keep track of them all, but hypothetically, let's say the Steelers took, you know, a different lineman Thursday night. Let's say they took Graham Barden, who mm-hmm. I wasn't super high on. Elliot, if Fatanu and Mitchell were on the board at 22, I'm curious, just, you know, obviously we'll never know, but I'm curious where you think the Eagles mm-hmm. might have leaned there. You know, I'm really happy overall. I just hope, you know, in September, October, we're not lamenting like, oh, Tyler Steen doesn't look good. Like, you know, should have taken a lineman, because I feel like it seems like we keep getting sniped on linemen a little bit. So I'm just curious, you know, what you think might have happened if that was the case.
Drew, great call. Elliot, your thoughts on that?
I think they would have taken the linemen. I think they really like, I mean, they drafted him. So clearly they had a higher grade on Quinyon Mitchell than I thought they did leading in. I just heard too much leading up to the draft about how they wanted to go offensive line. Now, they didn't trade up, so clearly maybe they didn't like Troy Fontanu as much as I think. But if Troy Fontanu,
he was within range.
He was like, within range. I mean, it
would have
been
that hard to go to 19 or 18. You need two to tango.
Yes.
But.
And also, the one trade-up that did happen in that range was a very expensive one.
An insanely
yeah.
expensive one.
So maybe
one.
Not.
Yeah.
But I think if both were on the clock, I believe that they would have taken Fontanu, especially when you consider, I mean, they did end up getting Cooper DeJean at 40. You don't know how it ends up playing out. But I'll ask, would you rather have Quinyon and Cooper or Troy Fontanu and Cooper?
I'd rather have Quinyon and Cooper, but okay. Who are you talking to?
I know, it's a good point. I wanted defense.
I said, and you know, it's already lost now, but I said if they went defense with every single one of their picks, I wouldn't
be
upset.
A happy man.
You know,
yeah.
215-592-9494. Let's talk to our guy, Kenny from the Dirty 30. What up, pal? How you been, Ken?
I'm through the moon happy. And tell me, Brandon Graham isn't like the best guy.
Dude,
ever.
Dallas sucks. BG's the best. He's
perfect for
he's
that.
He's perfect. He yeah. gets it. When he, I just, Kenny, I love him. I was watching with my wife and my daughter, and, you know, that's her favorite player and the whole thing, and I'm just like, that's our guy. Like, that is our guy.
I can't wait to hug him next time I see
him. Too. And what a cool, and Kenny, what a cool moment for him. I mean, to be from Detroit and, you know, heading into your final year, your swan song, to have had the career he's had, to be able to go to his hometown and do that, like, that must have been a pretty neat thing for our guy.
Now I just wish I could have heard it in an Australian accent the day before.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But, and Elliot, man, I've met you. You're a great guy, great human being, and you have your hot takes, but, man, Thursday, I think you were so off base. I'm sorry, bud.
What about?
You were going to the grave with that offensive lineman thing.
Yeah, I mean, I really think they should have taken an offensive lineman in the first round.
I don't think you could be off base to have an opinion, Kenny. Like, he's
saying he disagrees with the opinion.
Oh, okay. I thought he was saying you were off base.
No,
he
disagrees.
I got you. Okay, yeah, that's fair. By the way, the Eagles have traded out of this spot. They were at 132. It looks like they've traded the pick to Detroit. We'll get you the details. Go ahead, Kenny.
If we were up to the third, maybe best offensive lineman, I would have considered it. But they were down like 7 or 8 at that point, and the best cornerbacks were available.
Yeah, but
that was a position of need too.
That doesn't mean anything, though, Kenny. Like, there could be 10 offensive linemen in a draft better than the first cornerback.
Yeah, so that's my thing.
You know what I mean?
I to that point, yes. I think I don't view it by positional value. I know they got the best corner, but that doesn't mean the lineman wasn't better. And again, we'll see. Look, I think a stud cornerback probably impacts a team more than a stud guard, but guards are getting paid just as much as corners are these days. And last year really, really shook me in terms of watching how when all five offensive linemen weren't great, they were unable to stop the blitz. Jalen had a part of that. Coaching had a part of it. But a part of it we don't discuss enough is I saw communication errors and physical mistakes on the offensive line against the blitz that impacted them. And I heard for a month straight, you know, the blitz, the blitz, the blitz. If Steen's not good next year, they're going to be in major trouble again.
I don't know what to say. I mean, in all the years, and I've been around a while of watching football, I never saw a collapse like that. But the things I saw last year were like the weirdest things. Like guys who knew what to do normally didn't know what to do. And guys throwing their arms up on defense and running into each other.
Kenny, I'm with you.
Yeah. I don't know if we can judge the second half of last year.
I agree.
On anything. And this is the year now. Now we got to see if that was an aberration or if there's something deeper
Kenny,
on that.
It's exactly right. And great talking to you, buddy. Enjoy the rest of the draft. I totally agree. I think, you know, you've talked about this. This is like as important a start to a season.
Yeah.
For a team's confidence, belief, all that stuff for a fan base that I ever remember. All right. 215-592-9494. We're going to continue to take your calls. Plus, coming up next, his name has been mentioned a few times today, Vic Fangio. We're going to get Elliot's thoughts on Fangio's influence on these picks and how these guys fit into what Elliot thinks Fangio is going to want to do here. Why'd they take these guys? Is it because of Fangio? 215-592-9494. That's coming up next. Plus, we'll continue to roll your calls. It's Go Birds Radio React in the Draft.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go Birds Radio. Danny Ryan spinning it back there. Love it.
So you made a point in the break. I'm going to take to the air.
Oh, and I think it's I love this.
And it's a great one.
Good.
So Howie Roseman right now, the way he's maneuvering this draft is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. I thought this was a good point.
Thank you. It was a good point.
Yeah.
Watching Howie do this, it really does hammer home how smart it is to have a head coach that has almost no say in personnel. Because Howie's skill and the amount of concentration he can spend on this for the last few months, or really calendar year, and it coming to fruition today, there is no way if Nick Sirianni had control of personnel and personnel decisions, they would be as effective as they are right now with two people doing
also,
it.
Also, like, I don't know why a coach wouldn't want to just work with someone like Howie. Like, all right, you do all this stuff. Give me all these players, and I just go out and kick ass.
Dude,
yeah. Saquon Barkley, thanks, man. That's pretty cool. Oh, you've got – how'd you work – wait, you just signed all these guys? They're here for three more – sweet. Thanks, man. Oh, you made all these trades. You got more picks for next. Sweet. Thanks, Howie. Like, that's the way I would view it.
Yeah, so – and also, I just think, too, the way he – he makes Nick, like, to get him these players. It's just incredibly impressive. So, Howie's really showing off.
He really is. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up in a minute, we're going to get Elliot's thoughts on Vic Fangio's influence in this draft. How much does he think Vic has been involved, and how much are these players fits for Fangio? 215-592-9494.
Fits for Fangio. I like that.
I know. As soon as it came out of my mouth,
good.
I was like, this is
really
strong.
Good.
All right, we're going to get to that in a minute. Let's go back to the phones. Another mentioned caller already mentioned this show. Let's go to Columbus and talk to our guy, Corey. What up, Corey?
Go Birds, baby!
Go Birds!
What up, Corey? What up?
Hey, man, I love what Howie's doing. Obviously, you know, I'm a big Cooper DeJean guy. Elliot was right. Like, I did make the comment about Mitchell and, like, how a lot of the younger, like, a lot of the best cornerbacks in the league play at, you know, smaller schools. One thing about Mitchell, he went up against Ohio State every year because Ohio State puts Toledo on the schedule every year. So at least, you know, one game going up against elite
talent.
That's
interesting. And I know he played Illinois, and he's played some bigger schools, like Northern Illinois,
correct,
too, which isn't, like, legit, but it's a program, you know?
And, like, I mean, with the Cooper DeJean pick, I made this comparison a while ago. People thought I was crazy. Like, Cooper DeJean is literally Malcolm Jenkins. Like, they were college corners. They were elite college corners, but they didn't have, like, loose hips to play outside. So they transitioned to, like, inside and safety. And, like, he was a vocal leader at Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I love the Cooper DeJean pick. I don't know much about Hunt. I mean, so I can't really say, like, if I like the pick because I don't know much about him. It kind of reminds me of, like, the Milton Williams pick, like, small school guy that tested high, you know, great attributes.
Big
or whatever
at the Senior Bowl,
but
too.
Will,
yeah.
Right, but Will Shipley, Will Shipley, like, fell off. So, like, when we were talking about, like, drafts, like, obviously not with Go Birds, it's just, like, as the college football season was going on, I was like, I want this dude Will Shipley so bad. And this was before we got Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way he plays. Like, Maurice Jones-Drew said before the draft came on today, he said, whatever team gets Will Shipley is going to get a steal. Like,
wow.
He catch the ball.
And
what
did you like about him so much?
I just like the fact that, like, he was the leader on Clemson's team. Like, Dabo Sweeney, he, like, speaks highly about him. And, like, if you look at Clemson's offense this past year, if you notice, like, Clemson usually was, like, a powerhouse program. He really didn't have any, like, elite players come out in this draft, but him. Like, he carried them. Like, when they played Florida State, it was a close game. Florida State went undefeated. Like, he can catch the ball at the backfield. He can block. Like, he runs, like, a 4-3-5. Like,
yeah.
I love everything about him.
Love
well,
this. And what
sounds
I love
like
a better Kenny Gainwell.
And what I like about him, too, and you just brought it up there, the pass protection. One thing the Eagles running backs really struggled with last year, again, the blitz problem, was not only picking up the blitz, but once the blitzer was coming, actually being a blocker,
right.
They added two guys. Saquon is really good at it. And Will Shipley, from what I read, and I certainly trust your opinion on this, as a pass blocker, that is a major key because it's going to help him get on the field so much quicker.
Correct. And, like last but not least, like, I just love – like, you can tell that Howie Roseman has learned, like, I think I can't think of the caller, but Drew. I think Drew talked about it. Like, he learned from his past mistakes. Like,
he's
not overdrafting people. He's letting the board fall his way. Like, he's getting the players. Like, I do agree with Elliot. He talked about on Thursday. I thought we would have grabbed the O-lineman. Like, I noticed yesterday in the third round, there was a couple guys that we had in for our top 30, like Cooper Beebe, Zach Zinter, that went off the board right before we picked and we traded back. So I'm wondering if those were going to be the picks there.
I think it probably
Cooper
was. They got jumped, yeah.
Cooper Beebe going to Dallas, I hate that. I hate it. Like, that was like a stab in my heart.
Yeah, I think he's a good player.
Hey, Corey, great call, man. Keep him coming. Yeah, and look, they got Guyton. It was a guy you liked coming in. All right, back to the phones in a sec. The Vic Fangio thing, the fits for Fangio, as we just
fits
said.
Fits for Fangio.
So, three defensive players to start. We have not heard much about Fangio's input on these until the Hunt pick, and then they talked about that's one of Vic's favorite players in the draft and all
right.
this type of stuff. How much of a role do you think Fangio has had in the pre-draft process, in the draft process, in terms of, like, we know, look, it would be foolish to think they're not going to get Vic Fangio's opinion on players they're going to put in his defense mm-hmm. when they brought him in. But how much do you think they're drafting for Fangio and how these guys fit his system?
I think a lot. I think that's the how they're drafting all these players. Now, Fangio's probably not going to be here for 5 years, so I'm not saying that they're making, like, win now, like, right, only fits Fangio's scheme. I think that, you know, hopefully these guys can play different schemes. But, yeah, I think Fangio's very involved. I think they're drafting for Fangio, and I think that's smart. I think one perception, or I think misconception about Howie is that he doesn't listen to people. I think Howie does listen to people. I think he listens to his coaches. I think he listens to his scouts. I think he listens to Fangio. So, yeah, I think Fangio is very involved, and I think that's the correct way to do it.
Yeah, I
much
agree.
Like I thought Nick should have been very involved.
I agree. 2-1-5 on Fangio.
By the way, yeah. Quinyon Mitchell is maybe the only pick they could have made in the first round that you could argue Nick had him.
Oh, it's so funny. Yeah, so for those who don't know, I'm sure you've heard by now, but Toledo's head coach Jason Candle was Nick's college roommate, like one of his best friends in the world. Like, this was actually a guy where Nick could help bring extra insight. So yeah,
Nick Sirianni, draft expert.
Fascinating. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Richmond and talk to our guy Justin. What up, pal?
Yo, what's going on, boys? How you guys doing today?
What up, Justin?
So I think overall in the draft, I'm pretty happy. I really like Quinyon Mitchell. Somebody who, other than Texas, kind of follows some of those like mid-major school size mm-hmm. in football a little bit more. I don't really worry about that too much, especially then when you hear that Saban and Kirby Smart both wanted Quinyon Mitchell to play for their team. Those
yeah, I agree. That's
it.
Yeah, if those two guys are in on you defensively, I'm into. I'm good. Sight unseen.
Yeah. So, and then one name I'll give you. I'm still a little heartbroken over JT Sanders. I can't tell you how many times I was sitting there and I was like, all right, this is it. This is the pick they're going to take JT Sanders. And then, nope.
Yeah, all the trade outs definitely made it hard to watch a draft last night. You're sitting there, you're like, oh man, Troy Franklin. That's who I wanted. I wanted Troy Franklin.
And unfortunately, he was the first pick today.
I know, but last night, every pick they traded out, I was like, man, I thought he was going to get him.
Well, I'll give you the next guy I'm keeping an eye on. It offensive line just provides a little bit of depth. Out of Utah, Elliot. I can't wait to hear you try to say this guy's name. I think it's Satoa Lamea. You know, he's not going to be a stud, but he's a bigger guy.
Uh-huh.
Has the option, I think, to play tackle or guard. So
yeah,
would be excited to see them get Stout a little bit of help there.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't drafted an offensive lineman yet. If they're going to, obviously, at this point, it's going to be a later pick. One guy I really like is Glover out of Georgia State. He played offensive guard, he played offensive tackle, he's played both sides of the line.
I watched pretty much every Georgia State game this year,
and
too.
And you liked him?
Yeah,
all right, that's good to know. Now, I don't know if he's been drafted, to be honest, because so much else is going on. But if he's still there, I think he would be a great pick by them. Travis Glover.
Well, not to go against you guys, but I'm a JMU fan, and they played Georgia State, and keep me away from anybody that played on that offensive line.
Okay.
Nice. Well, it's
good
real
to know.
Insight on Georgia State, so I like
so
that.
Good job bringing it up, but excited to keep listening to you guys. I'm actually at the Orioles game, so.
Oh, nice, man.
Talk to you guys
have
later.
Fun.
Love you guys.
Love it, Justin. That's great. At the O's game. That is fun.
Yeah, that is. Look, we disagree on PNC Park.
You've never been there.
Well, hold on. I don't need to. It looks like a fine ballpark. I would love to go to Camden Yards.
You've never been to Camden?
Never been
after
to Camden
all these
Yards.
Years? Right down the freaking expressway.
Well, after all these years. I'm not an Orioles fan.
I mean, all these years of living in Philadelphia, I've probably been in Camden like six times. Like, have you never been down
the,
to Camden?
The stadium you're talking
yes,
about. Yeah, no.
Yes.
It's You've been great, there six times?
Like five or six.
That's wild.
Like that. Yeah, it's a great stadium. I love baseball.
Yeah. No, I would
yes,
love to go. I would definitely rather go there than.
What Elliot's alluding to with the PNC Park thing is that I have said that it is one of, if not maybe the nicest ballparks
in the sport. I just don't
believe it. And Elliot says it's not, but he's never been there. It is just pure ignorance that he's saying this.
I can't believe a ballpark that has the Pirates in it is one of the best
in
the league.
Well, believe it. 215-592-9494. 1 hour down, another hour to go. We're going to continue to take as many calls as we can. We want to talk to as many real ones as we can, reacting to what the Eagles have done in the draft. Plus, coming up in a few picks, the Eagles should be on the clock again, how he has traded out of three of four potential choices to draft today. We'll see if that continues. Either way, we'll have it for you when we get back. It's Go Birds Radio. We're coming right back.